Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. But kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
7:46, and it is time for the sports page. I'm Heidi Holton, that's John Bauer, and joining us now, Fred Friedman and Kyle Erickson. Morning, guys. Thanks for being here.
I don't think
we've ever started off a sports page with NASCAR, Heidi. But you sent me an article. Sent me an article this morning. Bubba Wallace was the only African American driver in the series that they run in NASCAR. They banned the Confederate flag, which is seen big time at NASCAR races.
Yeah, well, it's a Southern thing. NASCAR got its roots from people that would be. Bootleg runners taking unlicensed whiskey, trying to avoid federal cops. So that's where the roots came from. And it's, although it's big in the South, it's definitely declined in attendance in the last few years and TV audiences. So, that's interesting. Though with fewer cars on the road, speeding, as you all know, went way up. So I say good for NASCAR. I see one of their big... team owners pulled out.
Really?
Protest. Yeah. Some idiot named Ray Ciccarelli, team owner of NASCAR Truck Series, I'm reading from AP, says, I will no longer compete because of NASCAR's move. So.
Wow.
Yeah. There's always going to be one idiot. So, good for them, my opinion.
Kyle?
Glad they pulled out.
Kyle, I see the Gopher signed in baseball. Did you see that?
I did not. Oh, no.
That Max Meyer signed #3 pick in Major League Draft, went to the Marlins, their pitcher.
Oh, that's right. Pitcher. The Major League Baseball draft started yesterday. I had lost track of that.
Guys, he's a pitcher from where? Stillwater? Which town is he from?
Woodbury.
Woodbury, thank you.
That's pretty high. That's pretty high in the draft.
That's a big deal, man. Very seldom has a Northern States tier pitcher been drafted that high. Very seldom.
And, of course, who did the Twins draft? Anybody know?
Well, I'm looking that up here right now. I got to scroll way down because I think we had, the 27th pick in the first round.
Aaron Sabato, a first baseman, a home run hitter, I guess.
He's described by ESPN as a big, bulky first baseman with raw power to match Torkelson. Torkelson was the #1 overall pick in the draft, went to the Detroit Tigers. As a freshman, hit 18 home runs, which in the college game is pretty impressive. And in his sophomore year, hit for power and had more walks than strikeouts, which gives you hope that he's got a pretty good sense of the strike zone and some pitch recognition. So Major League Baseball draft, more than I think any other professional sport, is really a crapshoot.
Oh, yeah.
You get a lot of busts in the high rounds, and you get some late round picks that turn into superstars. But goodness knows the Twins have had their ups and downs, so hopefully this is one that clicks.
So, guys, here's my short story. It's summer, and I'm watching a minor league game in the Virginia League, in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And there's a guy who's a big shot who's pitching for, the Mets team, and they're against somebody else. And somebody hits a couple of line drives, and there's these scouts, and they're all about 75 years old or 80 years old. They've all got cigars, clipboards, stopwatches, right? And some fan turns around and says, that guy's a pretty good hitter. I could see him pitching to make it to the big time. What do you think? And the scout says, how the hell do I know? They're metal bats. and I will never forget that as long as I live. How the hell do I know they're using metal bats?
Yeah. That's
I remember years ago when town team baseball in Minnesota made the shift from metal bats to wood bats, and all of a sudden, you know, this was toward the twilight of my amateur baseball career, but I went from being a pretty decent home run hitter to being a doubles hitter pretty quickly when we switched from springy aluminum bats to wood bats. It's a big difference maker.
Yeah,
huge.
I know, in competitive and in slow pitch softball, they had to change the bats because it became so dangerous. It was just it was ridiculous. Yeah. Pitchers wear masks, and everybody wears a mask.
Yeah.
What else is going on? What else is on your guys' mind?
On the baseball front, we had talked last week about how MLB, the owners, had kind of laughably said that they weren't even going to offer a counter proposal to the players' union suggestion on a season. And of course, within a few days, they had discarded that ridiculous ruse and did, in fact, offer a counter proposal. And now, I think yesterday, Rob Manfred, the commissioner, said in an interview that there's a 100% chance that there will be a Major League Baseball season. They have traded some counter proposals, and it sounds like hopefully sometime in July there will be Major League Baseball. They're still a ways apart on the money split and the length of the season, but the gap isn't nearly as wide as it was a few weeks ago. So here's holding out hope that they can get over that and get baseball to the fans.
So
hope you're right. I know I'll watch. I know I'm not ready to go, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah. Do we know how it's going to work? I know we're going to be playing regional teams, Cleveland, maybe the Cubs, maybe an interleague game. But is everybody going to play in their own stadium? You know what I mean? There's been so many things talked about.
Yeah, I know they have not resolved, John, they have not resolved the issue of Toronto running back and forth across the border. Because remember, outside of trucks and trains, they're just not going back and forth. There is no travel now. You can't run to Montreal or Toronto or the national parks and the Canadian Rockies for the week. That's not going on. So I know that specific issue has not been resolved. Plus, they told all these Dominican and Venezuelan players, if you got a way that you could stay in the States after spring training, stay. I know all the five Venezuelan players on the Twins were all told, you got to stay in Fort Myers. Don't go home because we're not sure we can get you out of Caracas, you know, flying back in.
Hmm.
Yeah, so there have been different variations of proposals around just hosting games kind of regionally in a set of ballparks, not using all of them, but rotating games through a limited set of ballparks so there's less travel, a little bit more confined interaction for the players. And the article, the most recent one, was really interesting, talking about how so much of Major League Baseball player culture is built around road life, right? Going out to bars and restaurants after games, you know, building camaraderie with teammates. And it was kind of interesting thinking about how all that would be disrupted because, of course, players would largely be banned from doing that, but I'm less worried about that. I just want to see Nelson Cruz and Miguel Sano and the rest of the Bomba squad in action again, and hopefully soon.
So,
as I understand, the owners or the commissioner, not the owners, the commissioners are worried about two things. There's certain places we can't have World Series games in November: Boston, New York, Minneapolis,
Minnesota,
obviously Detroit, Cleveland. And that's one. And secondly, history says, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but history says for the last 600 years, round two of pandemics has been stronger than round one. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying it's been that way since the 1340s.
Wow. Anything else? Heidi, you got anything to add? WNBA has been set back a little bit.
I don't know.
I think they've been pushed back a little bit. I think their season has been shortened a little bit. NHL's still going to play, for God's sakes. They'll probably start in July.
You know, John, I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of ratings hockey gets in summer.
Yeah.
You know, whether anybody watches. And so
I think
we'll see about that.
I think people will watch baseball, but I bet they don't scan the crowd very often. They'll only scan the crowd when a home run flies out of there.
No, I hear you. And I cannot imagine what's going to go on with football, because that's a lot about money. That's about crowds. And then, of course, in football, you got the huge college issue, which is a big moneymaker to universities.
And through all
complicated.
And through all this, Kyle, we're not talking about high school sports, Fred. And Kyle, what's going to happen to high school sports in the fall when it starts up?
Well, we talked briefly about that last week, and I think we landed on it's just too early to know. We don't even know what school in general, high school, elementary school, is going to look like in the fall, if it's going to be on the campuses and the buildings, if it's going to be remote learning, if it's going to be some kind of hybrid. And that's really going to drive whether or not sports can take place.
So I got my 82-page memo from the University of Minnesota saying, be prepared to teach online, but be prepared to teach in person. And we're going to find a way to open up, but give students their choice of how they want to learn, which really means the professors are teaching twice, if you understand what I'm saying. But a lot of those 82 pages were about, not about the classroom, about how are we going to handle health issues in dormitories and dining rooms. A lot of the pages were about that.
Yeah, a lot of kids aren't going to want to go to college, I would imagine.
That's my point. And I've said this to everybody. I'm just saying this to you parents. Are you guys going to pay crazy amount of money for your kids to take these classes online?
Yeah.
You know, because it's a different deal.
As an instructor, Fred, how do you feel about the online? It's probably not the same for you either.
Not at all. I don't think that students learn as much. They definitely do not ask as many questions. I'll give you an example, okay? In 2 minutes, I'm going to hang up. And I'm teaching all day at the University of Dayton Law School, online. So they're not going to ask as many questions, and they talk over here as an interruption, just like there is on the radio right now. You know what I mean? It's not the same. You don't learn as much.
Hmm. Wow. You got any?
Guys.
We had trivia?
Yes, we have some trivia from the birthday boy, our senior correspondent. It is Scott's birthday.
Happy birthday,
today.
Scott.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. So
did you guys see his picture he put on the Facebook this morning opposite his name? Did you see that, Heidi?
No.
Rather than his photo, he put the photo of Hannes Wagner.
Mm.
Okay, so this is my instruction. Easy for Fred, so give John and Kyle first try. On this date in 1938, in a 3-0 shutout over the Boston Braves, what Cincinnati Reds pitcher threw the first of two consecutive no-hitters?
Johnny Vandermeer.
Yeah.
Wow. Correct. Good job.
He says 4 days later in Brooklyn, he gave up 8 walks but no hits in a 6-0 win against the Dodgers. He is the only major league pitcher to throw 2 no-hitters in a row. On this date in 1988, Yankee pitcher Rick Rodin became the first pitcher to do what in an American League game?
Oh, boy.
Does Fred?
What was the year?
88. Well, it wasn't like a hit a home
run. Oh, no. I don't know. Win and hit a home run?
Yeah, home run.
In American League?
No. It couldn't happen in a National League game is the hint.
He was a DH.
Yeah.
Oh.
In his one plate appearance, Rodin hit a sacrifice fly before being lifted for a pinch hitter in the 5th inning of the Yankees' 8-6 victory over Baltimore.
Fun.
Okay, so probably should give John and Kyle first crack at the next 3. Major league umpires work games in both leagues now, but long before that, what was one conspicuous difference between American and National League umpires?
Color of their uniform?
Oh, no, it's the face mask, it's the protector inside and outside, and how they stood behind the plate.
Yeah, the home plate umpire in the National League wore the chest protector under his jacket. American League home plate umps wore the chest protector outside the jacket.
Just a personal preference or what? That's interesting.
Probably political.
League, oh,
policy.
Yes. 150 years ago, on June 14th, 1870, the Brooklyn Atlantics defeated the Cincinnati Red Stockings 8-7 in 11 innings. What was significant about that game?
Oh, for goodness sakes.
What year?
1870.
Fred, you're on your own on this one, I think.
Team, first game in the league? First professional game?
It was the Red Stockings' first loss ever. They were 57-0 in 1869 and 24-0 until that loss to the Atlantics.
Yeah, Kay actually undercovered that back in 1870.
All right, what two 20th century, this is for you, Fred. What two 20th century Supreme Court justices were known as the Minnesota Twins?
Yeah, that would be Harry Blackmun and Warrenberger, because they were both from St. Paul Monroe High School.
That's right. And what ballpark has two parts of the playing field named in honor of what former players?
Well, Fenway Park has the pesky pole.
Yep.
Is that the right park anyway?
That's one.
Is there someone's alley? No.
The monuments in center field in Yankee Stadium, maybe. I don't know.
Nope. So it's Fenway, and the other one besides Pesky's pole is the Fisk foul pole.
Oh, left
in
field.
Left.
Oh, my gosh.
After Carlton Fisk.
Waving it in.
Hey, I got to go, Heidi, but we got a comment about Torrey Hunter took off hard after the Boston fans for racial epithets, and the Red Sox ownership says that's absolutely right. So my response is do something about it. Don't say I'm right. You're right. Do something about it.
Hmm. All right, Fred, good luck on the TV screen.
Thanks. Bye.
Kyle, any fishing news?
Well, the Bassmaster Elite Series is back in competition. They're on Lake Eufaula, Alabama today, so it's in with the dearth of other professional sports, I'm happy to be able to watch professional bass fishing anyway. And kind of in the theme of what we've been talking about, there are only a couple of African American anglers in the world of professional bass fishing, and one of them, Ishama Monroe, came out, and I think he did an interview with The Athletic, if I remember right, about what it's like to be an African-American man in a very, very white world of competition. So lots of intersections between sports and race for us to think about. In the meanwhile, fishing is good. Could do with a little bit less rain right now. I'm going to be out on Lake Mille Lacs chasing smallmouth tomorrow looking for a state record.
All right.
Perfect. Thanks, Kyle. Good to talk to you.
All right. Have a good day, folks.
You too.